Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, I think I'm ready now. I was adjusting the mood lighting here in the studio as we get going on a Monday afternoon. How you doing, Fred?
I'm good. How are you?
I don't know. You look a little unsure of yourself today and the way the show's going to go.
You know
are we
what?
Feeling confident?
What is it?
I was trying to think of something exciting that happened over the weekend to me, and I couldn't come up with anything.
Is that why? I didn't want to put pressure on you or anything.
I know.
We often do start the show just kind of catching up on the weekend. We will obviously spend a lot of time on the Middle East peace deal today. This is big, big news. The hostages have been returned. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of the hostages that had passed away have not been returned yet. They're still working on that. But
okay, seriously, why do you think that is? Do they know where they are and just don't want to? Are dragging their feet on something?
No,
or
I
whether
don't.
They truly don't. No.
That's what we're being told, that they truly don't know the whereabouts of all of them. But, I mean, as awesome as it is to see the jubilation today from the hostages reunited with their family after 700-plus days. You know, Fred, we thought about this last time. We should maybe try to get Rocky Sickman on the air, who
good.
Was
yeah.
you know,
oh,
one of the hostages.
Him. He's awesome.
He is awesome. And his story, he'd probably have something to say about all of this. But we'll get to all that in due time here this afternoon. We have Josh Hammer coming up. Newsweek senior editor at large, and he hosts the Josh Hammer Show. He'll have plenty to say about Israel. We'll have Congressman Mike Boston this afternoon. We have Sean Spicer coming up, Paul Morrow, a very, very full show. Now let's talk about the weekend just a little bit, because Ethan and I ended up going to the Mizzou game on Saturday. I had some thanks to my friend Larry, who offered tickets to me on Thursday, and I was given the green light by the boss in my household to say yes. And then Ethan, we were talking about this last week. He had never been, let alone to a Mizzou football game or basketball game. You've never even been to Columbia, Missouri, right?
Correct.
So I said, well, look, you have to come to my my tailgate. It's not the one that I organized, my friend Carlin
I love
and Don.
This.
So he shows up. I was actually there. Ethan shows up in his little red Alabama gear. But I told you, you'd be welcome with open arms. And
you did.
You met the crew, and you guys weren't as interested in food. We had great food there and drink. I know you were popping around just trying to get the entire experience. And then ironically, I mean, there's like 70,000 people in the stadium. The game goes to the final seconds, really. You know, there was a chance for Mizzou to go ahead or to tie, and we walk out of the stadium at exactly the same moment. All of a sudden, I see
Whoa.
Him and his buddy Brandon. But look, let me, before you weigh in, Ethan, because you have a different perspective, here's what I would say. I feel like we got out-coached, we got out-quarterbacked, we got out-special teamed. Some of this, I don't even know if it's a proper.
It seems like a lot.
We, unfortunately, the calls did not go our way. We didn't play well. Bo Prabula cannot pass the ball. I'm convinced now that Brady Cook would have been a better quarterback. Having said all of that, we still could have won the game and really should have kind of won the game because of some of the calls that went against it. There was the fake punt. I think the fake punt was a good idea. It looked like I was sitting right at the 45-yard line. It looked like he had reached out and gotten the first down. My understanding is that the video replay couldn't, you know, confirm that. So in other words, if they would have said first down, they probably wouldn't have overturned it. But since they said nope, fourth down, and you turn over on downs. But even after that, we had a chance to still go ahead. So it was a frustrating game. Is it going to hurt you in the long run? Does it take you out of the CFP, the playoff? Not completely. It was respectable, and I think they only dropped one spot in some of the power rankings and the other rankings today. Yeah, depending on what you're looking at. Like the ESPN rankings, they put them down one. The polls, they were probably down, what, 14 to 16?
In the AP poll, they dropped from 14 to 16.
So that's fine. I don't really care about the rankings. I care about wins, and that would have been a huge win, Ethan. So I know, and congratulations on Roll Tide getting the victory. It was an exciting game. What can we say? It really was.
First off, Columbia is awesome. Columbia is such a cool town, awesome college town. The campus is beautiful. Wish I would have had more time to just walk the campus because, I mean, it's a beautiful school. And Mizzou fans were awesome. That atmosphere was amazing.
That's good atmosphere.
You know,
it really was.
It was 11 o'clock start, and that crowd was loud. It was a loud crowd. I can only imagine if it would have been an afternoon or a night game, how much louder it would have been, how much more difficult it would have been to play in that. I like to think that away teams have the advantage playing in an 11 o'clock game because the crowd's not necessarily all the way into it. That was still a really loud crowd. I think you summarized it pretty well. Alabama, I think Mizzou got out-coached. The strength of Missouri's offense, I'm sure we're going to talk about this with Frank Cusumano at 4:45, but the strength of Mizzou's offense is their run game, and they stopped running the ball in the fourth quarter, and it had been successful up to that point.
I didn't understand it at all.
Ahmad Hardy, who was the best running back in the country, didn't have a standout game, but the three-headed monster of him, Prabula, and Jamal Roberts combined had 160 rushing yards and were, I think, averaged 5 yards per carry, and they just stopped running the ball in the fourth quarter. Makes no sense. Don't understand why. That's what basically all of the college football world is saying right now. And then
it was a clock issue. I think a bit of it is a clock management issue.
Plenty of time. I was talking to you about it earlier. They got the ball back with 5 minutes left, trailing by, at that point, I think 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
And they threw the ball three times and had a three and out and had to punt the ball.
That was
no sense to me.
No, it didn't make any sense to me. The last thing I'll say is
Ty Simpson played.
He may be your Heisman Trophy winner.
He was phenomenal, made some huge throws. Didn't have a standout game. He wasn't, you know, the numbers were off the charts, but boy, he stepped up when he needed to. And
I knew that going in. Remember, I told you that's what I was worried about. Look,
but you also said you thought it was going to be a beatdown potentially, and it was not.
I did think it was going to be
a beatdown. Mizzou
stayed in the
game. And, you know, now they got to go into Auburn, and they got a tough one this upcoming week on the road. A
couple of weeks on the road, then back for A&M in November. But it was fun. It was a fun experience. It was a beautiful day. The sun actually was not shining as intensely as it could have been because there was a lot of cloud cover in mid-Missouri, which I think helped. Because I hate sitting at a game when it's super hot. But there we go. We had some things happening today just to cover these in the sports world. So Penn State, who was ranked in the top five to begin the season, hasn't had the greatest run. And they fired their coach, James Franklin, mid-season. James Franklin's an awesome coach. He'll get picked up right away. He's got like this ridiculous buyout that Penn State will have to pay him.
Like
what is it?
$48 million?
Yeah. $49 million.
Are you kidding? How about that? You get fired, you get $50 million.
Unbelievable or what? And there, I can tell you this: unless they make a surprising hire and snag someone up from a school,
you're not
now
gonna
that's
do better than James
they're
Franklin.
They're not going to do better than James Franklin. Plus, paying him $50 million not coach, I think it is an all-time terrible move by Penn State.
He must have shown some disrespect to some booster, and there was, you know, the point of no return. I don't know, but I think he's probably going to be happy in the end that he's left Penn State.
Oh, I bet he's going to be sleeping with peace at night with his 50 mil.
And then Sue, you know, who at first it looked like he had just kind of quit his job, which was weird, and then we're like, wait a second, they're not firing him, are they? But Mike Schilt decided to retire from baseball today. Yeah, he stepped down his decision as manager of the Padres, and then the announcement came out that he was retiring. So look, Mike Schilt in the end had pretty you know, decent runs. Let's face it, he didn't suck at his job.
No,
that's for sure.
Very good manager.
Right. He didn't get the Padres to the promised land as they hoped. They're in a tough division with and the playoffs are tough for everyone. We know that. We'll see what happens. Now, I have to root for the Brewers tonight as they start this series with the Dodgers. That was pretty exciting on Saturday night to watch them win over the Cubs. I like that personally.
Friday night, the 15-inning game between the Mariners and the Tigers for the Mariners to advance to the ALCS. Yeah, it's been the postseason's been great so far, and now the Mariners up 1-0 on the Blue Jays, so it'll be a fun couple of pennant races.
I think it's going to be great. All right, well, let's kind of get into some of the stuff that we're going to talk about today. I mentioned Josh Hammer's coming up, also Congressman Boss. A huge deal for President Trump, and it's going to be very interesting to see moving forward. I mean, where the Free Palestine people are with their protest, et cetera. There's a lot of folks that are having difficulty giving this president any kind of credit on anything, but he announced this morning. The hostages were being released.
This is not only the end of a war. This is the end of an age of terror and death and the beginning of the age of faith and hope and of God. It's the start of a grand concord and lasting harmony for Israel and all the nations of what will soon be a truly magnificent region. I believe that so strongly. This is the historic dawn of a new Middle East.
So it's Fred, I think we talked about this last week. Sue, you'd be in the same category here. We've been around Middle East peace deals before in the past, even some significant ones, and they have not held up. But this certainly is off to a good start. I think one of the questions we'll ask Josh here in a few minutes is what happens next? Like, first of all, I mentioned the hostages that are being returned who are not alive. Here's what the president said about that. Wrong pot. Hang on.
Now that the living hostages have been returned, can you please tell us what the next steps are?
Well, they're going and looking for bodies. It's a pretty gruesome task. And they know where numerous are, as you know. I guess 5 or 6 are in yet now. But they're looking for bodies. They know the areas and the search parties out, and they're doing it in conjunction with Israel. They're going to be finding quite a few of them.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, and that's a sad aspect of this particular story, but that's sort of where we are because these hostages in particular have passed away. He even said something. Did he say something kind of nice about the media today, Fred?
Yeah, he did.
Look at that. That's weird.
I want to thank the media for you've been so respectful on this deal. You know the importance of the deal, and I really... It was so pleasant to watch. I was on the plane for quite a while listening to the various newscasts, and they were all fair. They were talking about how incredible this is. This is an incredible day for the world, let alone the Middle East. So I just wanted to thank the media. They really treated it with respect. I wish you could be like that on other things, but that's perhaps too much to ask for. But on this, tremendous, everybody feels the same. Just tremendous respect, and we appreciate it very much.
Wow. Did he have a fever? Did anyone check? He said nice things about the media. That is not very typical. And let me just play Senator Fetterman, because, again, you're not going to have, I haven't heard Senator Schumer or others come out today. You would think that they'd want to be praising this deal, but there's politics involved. But Senator Fetterman is just being himself here.
I mean, how can we all celebrate this thing? I mean, you've had human beings held underground for over 2 years and tortured and beaten and starved, forced to dig their own graves and things. Now they can finally come back home. And now everyone should be celebrating these things. And clearly the Palestinians are, and people at Israel are too. And now there are people in our nation, you know, some of those aren't really celebrating or even acknowledging a thing. And that's part of the truth there too. It really was never about peace. It was more about an anti-Israel agenda. And now, why can't we all, whatever, where you are politically, this is a huge development, and this terrible, awful war is going to come to an end.
I mean, he's right about that. And why can't more people say that? Now, this will be interesting. I don't think this happened on The View today, but Alyssa Farah, she's one of the fake Republicans that are on The View every morning, you know, saying stupid things. This goes back to earlier this year. Here's what she said.
My point when I say I'm not going to be apocalyptic, it's not changing a tune. It's not making every single thing a 5-alarm fire. Yeah. If he does good, if he gets the Israeli hostages out, I promise I will wear a MAGA hat for one day on the show and say thank
Please
you for doing it.
Yeah.
I know she'll knock it right off my head. But
Please
like we can't, you have to be able to cheer for wins when they happen and then call out relentlessly the wrongdoing.
So let's see if they did that. I didn't pay attention to The View today, but that was a promise that she would make the MAGA hat and wear it. They'll knock it off her head, but we'll see if it'd be interesting if that actually happens, right? They'll have to get, what's Joy Behar going to say about this? Like, they're going to come up with some negative. It's not really him. One thing that's happening.
Well, maybe they'll talk about Anthony Blinken.
Well, right. Okay, so let me focus on that just a little bit, because Anthony, don't say Anthony.
Oh,
I think
sorry.
Sometimes I say Anthony, but it's Anthony. It starts with a clear and comprehensive, this is what he said today. It starts with a clear and comprehensive post-conflict plan for Gaza. It's good that President Trump adopted and built on the plan that the Biden administration developed after months of discussion with Arab partners in Israel and the Palestinian Authority. So essentially, he's taking credit for all this going down right now.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, exactly.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, for the first time anyone can remember, we have a once-in-a-lifetime chance to put the old feuds and bitter hatreds behind us. And that's why so many people in this room, they didn't get along. Some did, some didn't, but they're getting along now. This has brought the people together. This is the first time the Middle East crisis has brought people together as opposed to driving them apart. And to declare that our future will not be ruled by the fights of the generations past, which is foolish.
Yeah, that's President Trump after this peace deal was signed this morning. Josh Hammer, Newsweek senior editor at large. He also hosts the Josh Hammer Show every Saturday. It airs at 1 p.m. on 97.1 FM Talk. Josh, how are you? This is a big, big day, isn't it?
Mark, it is definitely a historic day. It's a day that, frankly, I don't necessarily think that I saw coming, to be honest with you. I really thought that it was likelier than not that they would just be casualties of war, this final tranche of hostages. So it's a beautiful day, an incredible scene at the Knesset, the Israeli legislature this morning with Trump speaking. It's one for the history books, that's for sure.
So how do you look at this, the way it went down? I mean, obviously, it looked like Hamas was sort of backed into a corner here. They did not have a lot of leverage, certainly after agreeing to let the hostages out. It is interesting that we've heard about all this starving in Gaza, and I saw a lot of people celebrating in Gaza today, and they looked quite healthy. But what was it that finally brought these sides together to say, okay, enough is enough? Also recognizing that peace deals are always very fragile.
So it's always hard to say exactly what went on behind the scenes, but it seems to me a combination of Israel just very slowly and systematically just really eliminating Hamas jihadi by jihadi, battalion by battalion, brigade by brigade, combined with what I presume behind the scenes was some really sincere, credible, strong-arm negotiation by President Trump and Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff and their whole team. Now, a lot of it comes not just from Trump on Hamas, but Trump on Netanyahu as well. Netanyahu himself is in a very somewhat perilous political situation over in Israel, as I think you and I have discussed in the past, Mark. But President Trump, I think, is coming at this from a position really not so dissimilar, actually, probably from my friend Charlie Kirk's position before he was tragically killed, which is that President Trump, like Charlie, is a friend of Israel. President Trump, like Charlie, understood that the longer that this war goes on, the worse it really ends up being for Israel's standing in the world, their PR, and so forth. And in fact, trying to read Donald Trump going back to when he came back in office in January, I really have at times thought that he would really do better just to rip the Band-Aid off and yell at Bibi Netanyahu, finish the darn job already, just end this. I mean, yeah. that's basically what he said, right? So I think that he thinks this is really good for Israel, which it probably is. Obviously, the million-dollar question is what happens to Gaza and Hamas. That's a whole other conversation.
So just briefly, because you mentioned Charlie, let me ask you, because your name has popped up in all this stuff with Candace Owens kind of being crazy and this, you know, I guess event that took place in the Hamptons where Kirk was alleged to have said something. You kind of got dragged into that. Can you explain that at all? What the hell was going on with that?
It's sick, deranged stuff, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It is really beneath contempt behavior. It all went down when I was offline for the Jewish holiday of Sukkot this past week. And I come back online to find out that Candace Owens, who increasingly peddles medieval or Nazi-style anti-Semitism, I mean, is saying that I was complicit in the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I mean, it's just so demonic and beneath contempt, Mark. And, you know, you and I have talked legal matters in the past. You know that I have a strong legal background, and there's a real chance I'll sue. I mean,
good.
I'm speaking with numerous lawyers now. I think I have a very credible defamation case in my hands, so we'll see if I go down that rabbit hole. But I'll tell you what I think is actually really going on here when it comes to Candace Owens. There's been this whole fight in the aftermath of Charlie's horrific assassination. An assassination, by the way, by a radical, transgender-adjacent, you know, left-wing fanatic. And they've somehow turned this conversation about a left-wing fanatic into a conversation about Charlie's relationship with the Jews and Israel. And they're doing this because they're trying to make a play for how Charlie's legacy will be perceived, and by extension, the future direction that his organization, Turning Point USA, go. That's what they're doing. They're trying to make a bizarre case that Charlie was not the friend of the Jews that he was, and so forth. And the problem for them is that he actually was a genuine friend of the Jews, that Charlie Kirk observed his version of the Jewish Sabbath from Friday night to Saturday night, that Charlie Kirk spoke movingly about how he used to study the Torah with Dennis Prager, that Charlie Kirk was friends with people like me. So that's kind of how I get dragged in here, because I'm a publicly conspicuous Jewish person. I wear a kippah, a yarmulke on my head. I wrote a book about the Jews and Western civilization, a book that Charlie was a big fan of, by the way. And the fact that all this is true, the fact that I was in Charlie's inner circle, poses a huge problem for Candace Owens insofar as she and her ilk are trying to revise history and therefore try to affect the future direction of the right and try to take it into an ultra-conspiratorial, anti-Semitic, frankly, in many ways, anti-American, anti-Western direction. So that is how I think my name gets dragged in here. It is literally because I'm Jewish and no other reason. That's the whole story, period, full stop, end of story.
So, you know, it's interesting and horrifying, and you know this better than I, but whenever we have an interview, and you thankfully, and I appreciate this, Josh, you put the audio of the interview out there, and then people start replying, I am shocked by the amount of anti-Semitism that is hurled toward you. You know, and it's in my timeline because you've retweeted it, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, a lot of us can't relate with that, and the vile stuff that gets thrown at you on a regular basis is just disgusting.
Well, I appreciate that. I'll be honest with you, Mark, I don't typically read
smart
replies or comments or anything right. like that. I did take a peek at the YouTube page for my video response to Candace Owens, which I posted last Thursday, and there were a lot of very negative, vile comments, oftentimes getting a lot of likes. It's very hard to know how much of this is organic, how much of it is foreign bot funded. I think that YouTube in particular has a pretty nasty foreign bot problem. I've heard that from a number of credible people by now. So, look, but having said that, some of it definitely is organic. And, you know, anti-Semitism is clearly on the rise in America, not just around the world. It is very much on the rise here in America, and I think it's incumbent upon everyone with a conscience, everyone who has his or her moral wits about them, to condemn this with all they've got for the reason that it's not actually about the Jews. You know, one of the things that I write about in my book, Mark, is that anti-Semitism going back thousands of years is never actually about the Jews. It is here, there, and everywhere a symptom of broader societal, civilizational, national rot. It is a symptom that there is something that has gone wrong in that society, and because something has gone wrong, there is a need to find a scapegoat, and the scapegoat ends up being the Jewish people. But a sober society would see a rise of anti-Semitism and say, why is this happening? What has actually gone wrong in the society that has leaned to that? That is something that Charlie Kirk was actually thinking a lot about in the final year of his life. I know so because we discussed ourselves quite frequently.
So what happens to the, you know, the Free Palestine movement and all these students on college campuses and all this other nonsense? Look, they're not going to all of a sudden become, you know, non-anti-Semites. So where does that whole movement go with their accusations?
Well, if you think about the shock troop wing of the American left, which is what I call them, the shock troop wing of the left of the Democratic Party, you know, they started once upon a time in the post-Trump era in 2017 as the Linda Sarsour Women's March. You know, that was the pink hat and the vandalism there on Inauguration Day 2017. So they started as the Women's March. Then they transmogrify a few years later into the Black Lives Matter Antifa riots of 2020. And then only after October 7th did the previously somewhat fringe group Students for Justice in Palestine, did that really kind of erupt into this whole national, you know, pro-Hamas, pro-jihadi movement. So I presume that if this issue really goes away, which I'm not sure it will, to be honest with you, but if it actually really does, you know, I presume that the intersectional left will kind of find their next cause to be all angry about. I'm not entirely sure what that cause is, but I'm sure that they'll find something.
Yeah, chances are good it's probably going to be a white police officer at some point. Josh Hammer, always great to have you on. The show airs Saturdays, 1 p.m. Central, right here on 97.1 FM Talk. I appreciate it. Thanks, Josh.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, take care.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know who else is coming up in the next hour? Paul Morrow, Fox News contributor. He is the founder of theopsess.org. We'll have some thoughts on the Letitia James indictment and some of the stuff that's going on with ICE as well. Congressman Mike Boss from Illinois is with us this afternoon. He happens to be the chair of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, and obviously that becomes very important because of what's going on with the government shutdown right now, which does not appear to have an end in sight, at least at this moment. Congressman Boss, how are you? Welcome back to the show here this afternoon.
Mark, good to be back with you. Really Great. Is good to be back with you. I wish that we were working and then back with you. We're still working. We're still doing a lot of things. Matter of fact, I came in from through last week and over the weekend in D.C. Of course, it was a different issue because we were actually had a case before the Supreme Court. So
on this government shutdown front, though, in making sure that members of the military are paid, obviously you've had the Democrats that have tried to put the blame on your side. But, you know, if you're just doing kind of the math and you look, Republicans voted to not shut the government down in both chambers, even though it's still your fault, right?
We did our job.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the House passed a clean CR. We were asked by the president to do that. We even got many of our own Republican members that have never voted for a CR to vote for a clean CR. And a clean CR means that it is just going to continue to operate the government the way it is. Now, in there were some extenders for VA that helped to make sure that the home health care workers are still provided for, TAP programs are still provided for. There's about seven different programs that are out there. But, Mark, let me tell you that the Democrats who are refusing to vote for this in the Senate and those that didn't vote for it in the House all voted for the same type clear CR, preaching why they should do that and why you should never shut the government down and you should never hold the people hostage 13 times during the Biden administration. Think about that. Same thing.
Yeah.
Exact same thing.
So how...
And I was just going to say, they keep proving, because they keep changing what they want to keep proving that it is strictly political.
So what are the realities of how this is affecting the military right now? Because some of the things that you mentioned, there's still folks that are on contract and they can still work. Is that part of the deal?
Yeah, well, no, actually, so just so you know, let's look at the VA side first. The VA side, because we front load the VA, the services for the VA should not, there'll still be people scheduling your medical appointments, okay. The docs will still be there, all of that will still be done. That being said, they're trying, but we don't know whether they can legally do it, but they're trying to make sure things like that, like I mentioned before, the home health care workers, which are private contractors, can make sure that they're receiving their pay. That one thing we're not doing is we're not doing the maintenance on our cemeteries and things like that. That is considered unessential. The TAP program, which is a transition program from when a service member is leaving. Still, people are leaving the service. They're just not getting their TAP program, which explains to them all the benefits and everything that's available to them and the concerns that they have when they're getting out. The other thing that's out there that is vitally important is there some of the contracts like the Fox Grants, and the Fox Grants are basically mental health programs or they're through private contractors. We're trying every way we can to make sure that that is happening. But, Mark, let me tell you something else that is happening on the other side of the service. On the 15th, our Marines, our sailors, our soldiers, our airmen, and our Space Force personnel will not receive a paycheck. Now, let me explain this to you, that if you're in a situation where you're an older military person, but if you're an E3 or less, and I know because I was there
right.
with a wife and two kids, a wife and a child, and you pretty well live payday to payday. And whenever all of a sudden you don't receive that paycheck, all of a sudden now you're in a situation where for some reason your rent is still due. You still got to put food on the table for the kids and the spouse. You still got a lot of things that are due just to survive. You may have a car payment, but yet, all of a sudden, we're playing games with those who can least afford to have the government play games with them. And the reason I'm saying that is because I lived it. I lived it back in the early 80s. I know what that's like. It's scary. Not everybody has a mom and dad back home that they can call and say, hey, can you lend us some money through this time? And most of those people have not established a credit rating where they have a bank and they can go to that bank. Now, let me explain this to you. The president announced the other day that he has assigned Pete Hegseth to look into what the issue is to shift money from different locations to make payroll. I don't know what the legality of that is. I'm sure they've got better attorneys than I have. So I hope that they find that and that there is no one. He has made that commitment that we won't do that to our service enlisted personnel. Why in the world would we do that to any of our personnel? But unfortunately, those ones that are on the front line for us, you know, but this is what the type games that Chuck Schumer and the Democrats are playing, and you want to see how they're playing it. Think about this. We're hearing rumors that the idea is that they are going to make it sure it goes through the 15th and on through the next weekend. And why is that? Because next weekend is No Kings rally right. on the Mall. And therefore, that is a political move, only a political move to play to his base because he's scared to death of his base and afraid that he will lose his position as senator. But not only that, lose his position more than importantly, lose his position as the head of the Democrat Party in the Senate.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Look, you know, the other chamber is the one where the Democrats need to get on board. And obviously, you guys did do your job. It's frustrating to see this thing drag on. And I would hope, certainly, that we can get some resolution to this in the next week or two.
Well, let's look at this. The three members on the Democrat side that have already come over. I mean, I saw Fetterman the other day while walking in the morning to go back to the office. And, you know, I thanked him for that, for being involved and because he is a realist of understanding government's got to work.
Yep.
He may want to, all those things they're saying they want to deal with, he does probably want to deal with them. I may want to deal with a few of them. But the thing is, you can't deal with anything when the government's shut down. You can't negotiate from a position that we passed a bill that didn't change anything, and now you're going to get negotiation means it gives both ways. give and take both ways. If all we're doing is keeping the government open exactly the way it was before, that's not give and take.
Did Fetterman have a nice hoodie on? Could you confirm or deny that, Mike? Okay, good.
Yes, he did.
I'm glad that he did.
A nice hoodie and shorts, gym shorts, and flip flops.
That's about right. That's kind of the image that I have. Congressman Mike Boss from Illinois is with me talking about some of the Veterans Affairs issues related to the shutdown. But let's kind of shift gears to the Middle East. This was a big, big deal today, announced by the president. It's come together. What are the haters going to say right now, Mike?
You know, I don't know what they're going to say. But I tell you what I can say is I've spent my whole life hearing people say in joking manner, if something's hard to do, wow, that it'd be easier to have peace in the Middle East, because they never thought that they'd see it in their lifetime. And maybe we are going to see that. First off, with the hostages, watching the emotion that is going on right now and being separated that long from your family and only having 25 that were alive. But yeah. But now here's the thing. We have had, and I listened to your previous guest talk, and where are they going to go? What is their argument going to be? You know, the protesters that have been around my office, many of them not from my district, by the way.
Of course.
But they're all part of the resist movement, right? But that's just it. It's finding the point. You got to keep looking for things to resist, right? And so now we got peace in Gaza. We're talking about putting the Arab states and the Middle Eastern states are coming together to try to rebuild Gaza. Now, I mean, so that's a positive move. But yet here they are protesting in the streets. Matter of fact, this weekend in D.C., like yesterday and the day before that and Thursday through Sunday, there was a national prayer group that came together and had the largest communion table. It was a mile long and had that on Saturday evening. And so even there were people that would walk through, and this is a Jewish group as well as a Christian group, and walking through screaming free, free Palestine, even though we had already freed Palestine and the negotiations were already done.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
So yeah, I don't know where they go. And let me tell you, some of them that are doing it, it's like they've just got to have something to hate. And what a sad situation.
I think that is part of it for a lot of the professional protesters. And it is a sad situation. Congressman Mike Boss, always great to have you on. You keep on them and keep us posted. Okay, yeah. Mike?
All right, Mark.
All right, take
Thank
care.
You.
You know, Friday night, I was expecting to have John O'Leary on the show. He got stuck on an airplane. The movie based on his life, where John, when he was a 9-year-old boy, set himself on fire in his parents' garage out in West County, and then was left, you know, I don't want to say was left to die, but nobody expected him. Even the doctors didn't expect him to live. Jack Buck became a part of this story. It really is a very cool story. John got stuck on an airplane on Friday, and he's going to join us tonight. And, you know, Sue, it's one of those deals where I don't want to talk about the particulars of the movie and the story, because I want people to investigate that. And if you don't know John's story, you know, I think it'd be fun to discover some of those things. So I don't want to do any spoilers. But just his life, on where his life has gone. I probably met John for the first time, I'm guessing 15 years ago. I'd have to figure that out. But just to where his trajectory has gone from this little local St. Louis story, kind of starting on the speaker circuit. I will tell you this, in the movie, and I can ask him this because it really happens at the beginning, after he is set on fire when he's a little older, you know, and I can't remember if it was 10 years where he was about 17 or 18 or something like that, maybe even after college, because the timeline jumps back and forth. But there is this, and she becomes a very important part of the story. There's a leader from a local Girl Scout troop that says, hey, you know, I've heard about your story. I think it's amazing. Would you come to the Girl Scout troop and talk to them? And that's sort of the way that it's played off in the movie, is that that's kind of the first you know, foray into public speaking, and he completely fails. It's just awful. And then he finally gets, you know, invited to do it again, and he sharpens those skills. But as you know, you need experience.
Takes
you
a
need
while.
A practice. It does take a while, and he's done it exceptionally well. So we'll talk with John. We have Sean Spicer also in the 5 o'clock hour, the host of the Sean Spicer Show. A lot of things to talk to him about, including the Israeli peace deal. And and the shutdown. So we'll visit with Sean in the 5 o'clock hour. Paul Morrow is coming up in the next hour from the opsdesk.org, Fox News contributor. And we'll talk a little sports with Cusimano as well. Both Mizzou and Illinois lost over the weekend, unfortunately. Seattle beat Toronto in game one of the AL Championship Series. The Chiefs won in fine fashion last night. And the Blues have split the first two regular season games. I think they're actually in action tonight. And then back at home later this week. When we return from the break, Sue, I will share a story about how I was almost viciously and brutally attacked by an armadillo on my front lawn on Saturday night. It was a horrifying experience. I'm going to share it with the audience to see if maybe I can overcome my PTSD from that particular episode, but that's coming up as well. Yeah, you mock me. You mock me and you laugh at me, but you don't know what happened between
me and the
armadillo.
You're right. I will withhold judgment.
I will share that story here after we return from the break. The other thing that I'm very concerned about today is, and I guess maybe I heard reference to this a couple of weeks ago, but I didn't really realize it was real. And Brad Range from the previous show, of course, works on Annie's show, shared this story. You seem to be dialed into it that Katy Perry is dating that wimpy former Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so, there are photos.
Yeah. There's like, they're on the yacht or something like that.
It's something.
See, and I kind of like Katy Perry, okay. You know, I took Alexa to see the residency in Las Vegas, but that kind of makes me throw up in my mouth just a little bit.
It's not great.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.